I'll tell you who is a celebrity. Russell Milton over there in the UK. He is big business, and he's our man for coverage of the English Premier League on The Breakfast Club. And he's back again after a busy season. Well, what we hope is a busy season. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Hans. Good morning, boys. How are you? You all right?
We are very well. You're a celebrity in our eyes. We love your work, and we think it's fantastic that you are back with us, and our listeners love it as well. But does Frank Lampard love it?
He's got a tough job, that boy, isn't he? You know, yeah, he's been hampered a little bit, hasn't he? I think with the stars, you know, lost Eden Hazard, haven't they, Chelsea, and they can't sign any players. But I don't think anyone predicted really 4-0 Man United against Chelsea. It was a really tough start from the, and that's only one game, but you don't really often see Chelsea second to bottom. And I'm sure we'll pick up, but you've got to say United were very good, particularly on the counter-attack, and Chelsea were wide open, and the limitations of the Chelsea side at the minute, there was a lot of young players in there, was for all to be seen. But and Chelsea started actually quite well, but United certainly in the second half were very good.
They were also chanting, "You might be sacked in the morning as well, Big Frank."
So yeah,
not a good start. But
it was not a good start. Yeah, brilliant. It was quite comical, that, wasn't it?
What else did you see, Russ? A couple of the big teams started very well. Liverpool started with a good win.
Yeah, both Liverpool and Man City, wasn't it, were 4-1 and 5-0 winners respectively, carrying on where they left off last year. You know, they were both fantastic, weren't they, right at the top there and up and away from everybody else. And I think they're going to take some stock in this year. You've got to look probably not too far beyond those two for the winner again this year. Tottenham might run them close. But Liverpool, 4-1 winners. Norwich went to Liverpool and tried to play an open game, which was pretty suicidal, really. And Liverpool were four up in, 40 minutes, 35 minutes. And then we went to, you know, West Ham, Man City on the Saturday morning our time, and Man City were just unbelievable. Raheem Sterling scored a hat-trick, had a goal disallowed as well. And threes, fours and fives are not uncommon when Man City play, aren't they? So I think that's 4 years in a row now they've scored four or more at West Ham, so they must be sick of the sight of them. And, Man City move on, and it was just fantastic football all around, really, from both sides.
Unbelievable stuff from Man City. You're right, they're prolific. Have there been many teams in recent memory, Russ, that are as prolific and capable of hitting the back of the net than Man City? They seem to score a hell of a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Man United in their pomp were pretty good. They could put teams to the sword. But Man City, and when you think they have like 70-75% possession of, and if they're scoring two or three and four and not more, then the other side have got to get in 25% of the game. I've got to get three or four goals, which, just won't happen, really. You've got to really hope that, you've got to fully accept that Man City are going to have a lot of the ball. I think you've got to hope that you defend and you have one of those freakish days where they don't score and miss chance after chance. And then you've got to hope that you go down the other end and try and nick a goal, which doesn't happen very often. I think they've only lost like three or four games in 3 years. So, it's pretty ridiculous, really. It's amazing how the side and the squad that he's built there. And I think Mourinho said that there's four teams that are going to win the league. They've all got a chance of winning the league. It's Man City, Liverpool, Tottenham and Man City B. So, that's what he thought. And I think he's quite right. You look at their reserve side and it's just that he could compete in the top three or four as well. So, phenomenal sight. And I think, they could go, if they win the Champions League, I think we could rightly say that they're probably the best side that we've ever seen in the top flight in English football.
As for the Aussies, Brighton 3-0. Did Aaron Moy suit up?
He joined late, didn't he, this week? I heard the Brighton manager speaking, Graham Potter, and, it was a fabulous result for Brighton, 3-0. No one saw this one coming. I mean, I've got them down as my favourites for one of the three to go down, so it shows what I know at the minute. But perhaps you should not get me on here, lads, anymore.
Oh, come on.
But, they were very good, Brighton, very good. And, Aaron Moy joined late in the week, didn't he, with two other signings, and the two other boys come on up front and scored, and I don't think Moisey got on, but I certainly saw him there, sat on the bench ready to go, and I'm sure he was one of Huddersfield's leading lights, really, even though they went down, and he showed that he's keeping his place in the Premier League, so I'm sure we'll feature in the weeks to come.
We heard from Harry Kane through the off-season. He was very, very keen to score a couple at the brand new stadium for Tottenham. Had to wait till late in the game. He put two in the back of the net, and Tottenham started their campaign beautifully against Villa, Russ.
They did. Two good finishes from Harry Kane. Often there's a. It's often said he doesn't score in August, but obviously he scored in the first game, so he's put that one to bed. And yeah, Tottenham are all over him, really. Villa scored early. I think Villa would do well this year. I think they'd be okay, but they scored early, and Tottenham really put them to the sword. Second half were camped in Villa's half, and you could just see once they got one, there'd be two and three, and Harry Kane stepped up. Two cool finishes, weren't they? Very good finishes for him. Tottenham up and running, and you know, you'd expect to see. You know, Tottenham right in amongst it this year. I think they made some really good signings. And Dembele scored his first goal in his first game, which was always nice to do with a good finish as well. So, yeah, I think Tottenham will do well this year. And Harry Kane, top of the charts at the minute, was, just behind Sterling. So, you know, the usual suspects will be up there, won't they, on the top of the goal-scoring charts as well.
Were there any unusual outcomes or surprise outcomes? You mentioned Brighton's 3-0 win over Watford on the road, but any other outcomes on the weekend that you thought, gee, I wasn't sure that was going to happen?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest one. Arsenal winning away was one, actually, half. They don't normally do that. you know, my boys normally, you know, don't perform very well away from home. They're great at home, but the jury was out on Arsenal this year. I think they've made some good signings, but most of them are on the bench. And they signed David Luiz from Chelsea, didn't they? Which was a controversial one for 7 or 8 million. He was on the bench. He's either brilliant or absolutely useless. But they stuck him on the bench, and I'm sure he'll be, you know, good for the younger lads there. He's 32 years old, obviously Brazilian international, but. Is prone to the odd mistake, but he was on the bench. And Arsenal, Aubameyang was one of the unsurprising things, was Aubameyang scoring for Arsenal. That's 33 in 50 games in the Premier League, so an outstanding rate for him. And, you know, Arsenal will be relying on him this year with Lacazette up front to nick some goals from. Yeah, and Burnley was a good one as well. Good result for Burnley, 3-0 at home to Southampton. Southampton have been quite fancied to do well, but Burnley were very good. They were always playing catch-up last year, Burnley, but have certainly hit the ground running with that 3-0 result on Saturday.
What about this name for you, Scotty, from Arsenal? Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Yeah,
well, that's right, a name we will be paying particular attention to through this season.
Aubameyang. Now, what about the VAR, Russ? Take us through the VAR. Are the punters happy?
Not really, no. It's still, it's some like it, some don't. It's going to be a few years before it's refined, and, you know, like other sports, like tennis and sports like that, and cricket. You know, there's still some way to go. It's particularly the Man City West Ham game. There was three or four instances. You know, the penalty, Aguero's penalty got retaken, and then there's an offside goal, and you know, a penalty decision, and another potential offside goal. So there was a few times where it came into fruition, but you've got to be careful celebrating a goal these days, because you've got to do it twice and be prepared to be disappointed, haven't you? You know, no one knows really when they can celebrate, so it's going to take a few years, I think, for it to be normal. And this is everyone was talking about it this weekend, and because it was the first time obviously properly used in the Premier League, so it's better than certainly when it was used last year on occasions in cup competitions. But it still needs a lot more refining to make it the end product.
There could be some frustration in the terraces, I reckon, Russ, if they keep going to the VAR after goals are scored. Because you talk about the players having to be wary of celebrating, the fans they'll go nuts if they get them overturned too often.
Yeah, I think it will, and it's the finest of lines. You know, it's a shoulder or it's a big toe or something like that. You know, it's unbelievable how they've got it to the nth degree. You know, the big one last year obviously was Man City Tottenham, wasn't it? And I think Sterling scored in the last minute, and everyone thought that City were through, celebrating for a good minute, 30 seconds to a minute, and then obviously comes up VAR, potential offside, and, you know, absolutely shattered to get into the, I think it's the semi-finals of the Champions League. So, you know, big moments, but, you know, they do get most decisions right. Let's have that, you know, because there's been some controversial decisions over the years, and certainly when there's big money involved and livelihoods at stake, I think it's important that they get most, you know, the big decisions right. So it should be for the good, but it's going to take a little while to make it, you know, the best product.
Philosophically, do you like the fact that we're going to the nth degree, or would you, as a traditionalist, perhaps prefer the human error that is part and parcel of, or has been part and parcel of sport?
Yeah, that's what it is, isn't it? You know, it's a difficult one. It's going to take a lot of getting around to, you know, a lot of mindsets have got to change over the next few years. Personally, yeah, I think it's for the good, but it will take out a lot of, you know, the pub talk that you get, the terrace talk and the fans, you know, debating it. It will take a lot of that out of the equation. So we'll see where it goes off. I'm sure it'll be for the good of the game.
Now, what we've done today, Russ, is save the best till last, and we've buried the lead because Scotty brought this to my attention this morning that in League 2 across the weekend, we had a moment. We had a significant moment with your boys, Cheltenham, after a disappointing first game where we spoke about last week. 4 past Scunthorpe at home and dominated the mighty Scummers.
We did. Thanks, Scott, for bringing this up. Your 5 is in the post, mate. we were very good from start to finish, and it was nice to, you know, Scunthorpe come down from the league above, so it was nice to put one over them, and their manager is really complimentary. Paul Hurst right about us said we just thoroughly deserved it, and I think they went bottom of the league, actually, so I'm sure he'll turn things around there, but we were fantastic, and, you know, nothing but praise for the boys, but really good. So hopefully we can continue it on, mate. We've got Morecambe away this week, up to the sunny climes of Morecambe up north in England.
Well, they're 2-2 against Mansfield. They were down to 10 Mansfield. So if you can't beat Mansfield by 10 men, you can't win anywhere, Russ.
No, that's it. Let's hopefully. They beat us 4-0, actually. When was it? We went there in early April, sort of towards the end of last season, and they beat us 4-0. But the season was pretty much over for us. But we try and put one over. We are in one.
That's what you call an early season statement, Daniel.
My word, it is. Particularly after being 1-0 down, put 4 past them after that.
Bang. We are the team to beat.
That's what it is. Don't ever, Russ, don't ever go giving the boys the credit. You are the reason excellence happens there at Cheltenham. And we think that is magnificent. It's why you're part of our world. Thank you for the update after week one. We look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks, lads. Pleasure. Cheers.
Good stuff. Russell Milton, manager of Cheltenham. 4-1 victors over Scunthorpe on the weekend.
Good. He's former held on to the position. He can be volatile.
Arsenal winning away. What is it with teams and being on the road? I never really understood that. And footy, it happens with footy as well.
It does.
All the time. Teams go away and they can't win.
It's comfortability.
It's the buffet.
Comfort factor.
Buffet breakfast.
They don't like travelling.
The interstate buffet causes havoc.
Yeah, but somewhere like the UK, you just jump 2 hours down the road, you're there. Bang.
Yeah.
Get out of your car and strap the boots on.
They're fickle.
Get out of your Maserati. Get out of your Maserati.
Yeah. Get your driver to drive you up to wherever they were.
Now, for World Game fans or EPL fans, we at RSN 927 this season have partnered with Optus Sport to have their weekly GE Gen pod that recaps the EPL weekly as part of our podcast family here on the website, rsn.net.au. Here each week from the likes of our man Mark Schwarzer, our other man Ned Zelich, and others, and watch every game of the EPL season live on Optus Sport. That's what you can do. So the podcast on the website, part of our podcast family. Of course, all the EPL action live on Optus Sport.